right, ladies, how did you do thinking about different characters? Did anybody stand out to you who was someone who changed their true identity? Who was that? Shrek? Princess Fiona. Yes, I think so. Anybody else have one? Superman. Okay, because were you reading my mind? Did you look at my notes? Did you see my thing? Because I said Superman. And not just any Superman, ladies. It has to be the 1980s Christopher Reeve. And if you don't know who that is, I'm so sorry. We can all, those of us who know him. And I love this character, and this was one that came to my mind right away. And I just thought, because he was so, well, that too. But he was so wimpy as Clark Kent. Like, he did the glasses, and he was kind of like, let people bully him and do all that. But then when he took that jacket off and that S started to show through, and there were those times when he was getting, picked on and all that, and I'd be like shouting at the screen, don't you know who you are? You're Superman. If he could just like take that jacket off all the time, it'd be nice to look at. No, if he took it off all the time, then he's Superman all the time. I'm sorry, did that come out loud? So anyway, yes, and that's what we want to talk about tonight. We want to ask that question, do you know who you are? And are you going to be one who doesn't live in the reality of who you are, or that you will live in the reality of who you are? So in order to do that, ladies, we have to look at two things tonight. Do you know that you are in Christ? And secondly, that you need to stay in Christ. And that could open up a whole bottle of something. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at both of those, and then we're going to see what that means and how that applies to our lives today. Now, I trust that you've done the homework, which will give you the background for this tonight. And if you weren't able to this week, I would challenge you to do it this week, to try and carve some time in, because it's so important that this isn't your first kind of exposure to what we're talking about tonight. We want you to have time with the Lord first and to hear his word, and this will just kind of sum it up. So that's what we want to do tonight, know that we are in Christ and that we need to stay in Christ. So let's look at the first one. Can you turn with me, actually, to Philippians 3? And we want to read verses 8 to 12. So Philippians 3, verses 8 to 12. All right, Philippians 3, 8 to 12. So let's read together. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So the line in there that stood out to me as I was looking at it was that Paul says that I may know, that I may be found in him. And that's my prayer for us tonight, that we may be found in him. And what is it? I want to be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So let's look at it is to say what it is to be in Christ. So if we jump back to Romans 3:10, Paul reminds us that no one is righteous. There is not one righteous. All our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. There's nothing we can do to try and be righteous on our own. The law was given to show us what it is to be righteous, but it also showed that we can't do that. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God's standard is his glory, is that his perfection, and we all fall short of it. It doesn't matter if we fall short of it a little bit or a lot, we still fall short. So we have to acknowledge that we are sinners, that on our own, we cannot make ourselves righteous, that in our own, we're going to do the things that displease the Lord. We cannot get to him. We cannot have that relationship with him. But in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God, he made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we have Jesus, the all God but all man, the only perfect one, totally sinless. He had no sin. He took everyone's sin on him on the cross, every sin past, every sin future. And he paid that penalty that we should have paid for our sin. And because he did that, he died on the cross, and then he rose again from the dead. That penalty was paid. We don't have to pay it. And if we believe in him, we become that righteousness of God in Jesus. And Romans 10:9 and 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So we acknowledge we're sinners. We can't earn righteousness. It's a gift of God when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. This is a one-time event. There is a moment that you've made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, that you believe what he did on the cross. You believe that God raised him from the dead, and you want him to be Lord of your life. At that time, in Ephesians 1:13-14, and you did this in your homework, we found out that we're sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. And in Colossians 3:3, it says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." That's a one-time thing, and now that's where you are. And even in John 10:27-29, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and no one can snatch them from my hand. My Father has given it to me, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." So let's think about that for a minute, okay? Have you ever gift-wrapped something valuable? And maybe you're starting to think of something you want to send to somebody for Christmas or a birthday, and it's something fragile, or maybe you're moving, and you wrap it up, and what do? You put it in a ton of bubble wrap or paper, and you put it in, and you make sure it's all covered, and then you put that in something else and cover it up, and then you put the box and you seal it up. Well, we can kind of think of ourselves as bubble-wrapped people in Christ. Maybe? I don't know. Maybe like that? Maybe not like that. But it just made me laugh. Anyway, but think about, we are, when you make the decision to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are now in Christ. He is your righteousness. And if you did your homework, we are covered over with that robe of righteousness. We are now, it's his righteousness that we are in. When God looks at us, that's what he sees. We are not righteous on our own. There's nothing we can do, but because of what Jesus has done and we believe him, we are in Christ, so that's what God sees. So we are in Christ, and Christ is in the Father, and it's all sealed up with the Holy Spirit, so we can picture ourselves as this bubble-wrapped person, that we are in Christ, and that's where we are. That is our position. Can that ever change? Okay, let's try that again. Can that ever change? If you are in Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, can that ever change? You still sound a little unsure. Thank you. Right. No way, Jose. All right? No, you are in Christ. That will never change. that position is the same. Okay, we need to, before we move on, we need to make sure we know that and believe it. Because that makes a difference on how we do the next thing. Before we do that, we need to remember this. Okay, because when we're in Christ, we have so many amazing things happen. I just sat down and started going through what are some of the things that happen when you become in Christ. You are loved, you're redeemed, you're chosen, you're equipped, you're bought, you're forgiven, complete. There's tons, and this isn't a huge, like the most comprehensive list, but it's just one I did in the 5 minutes, sitting down, just thinking of all the things. If you have not received this yet, we have this on a bookmark. Who am I in Christ? Because I tell you, we've just finished the armor of God, and didn't we learn that the enemy, he's a liar, he's a murderer, and he's a thief. And he wants to steal any type of promise that we will believe of what is true. And he will bring that lie. And I tell you that only because that was me. When I first moved to Toronto, I remember sitting with my friend on a couch, and I said to her, I am not worthy. I am not beautiful. I am not lovable. And I believed it with all of my heart. And she looked at me, and I'm so thankful God put her there, and she said, Jen, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And I'm not exaggerating the way I felt, because I truly did feel that way. I felt all of those things, because that's the truth that I was believing. And she helped turn my head around, and God did some other amazing things. And one of the tools was actually a book called Victory Over the Darkness by Neil Anderson. And his first three chapters of the book are this: Who am I in Christ? And it's very rare that, you know, you read some books and you have some good things, but that was just truth. This is who I am. And it was one of those things that hit me like a lightning bolt. I am loved. What? I am worthwhile? What? Hold on. I am beautiful? Get out. And God brought truth into my life. Now, it's taken some time to really believe it, but I can constantly say now, I know I am loved. I know I'm worthwhile. And I know I'm beautiful. Not because of anything here, but because of who I am in Christ. And that's what we need to believe, ladies. So if you're having trouble with any of those things, get the truth into you. Start believing the truth. So we need to remember who we are in Christ. We are sealed. We are saved. And we are all of these things. Isn't that awesome? And we need to really believe it. But not only believe it, we need to believe it. And we need to stay in Christ. And when I say you need to stay in Christ, I'm not talking that we can get out of that position of salvation. We are in Christ. Right? We are sealed, we are bubble wrapped, we are all of those things. That will not change. We cannot be snatched out of Jesus' hand. But how do we experience it? John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. There's an important part there, abide in me and I in you, that we'll get to next week. But we're going to focus on the abide in me part this week. We can't do it unless we abide in him. Ephesians 1:18 to 19 says, this is Paul's prayer. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, this word believe isn't that one time I'm going to believe it just for this moment. This word believe actually means to continue believing, to trust, and to rely on. So this is a continuous action that keeps on going, that keeps on going, that keeps on going, that keeps on going. So there is one moment where we put our faith in God, in Jesus Christ for what he did, but now we need to keep trusting that as we go along, each day. And so that is staying in Christ, where we abide in him. All right? So when we abide, it's continuous. But how do we do this? I've been thinking about it each day as I go to work. You know, in some days, I come home and I'm like, did I even think about Jesus today? And other days, I can't even go 1 minute without being like, Jesus. So how do we just abide on a daily basis? And so one of the things is to know him. This is what Paul said in Philippians 3:8. He said, more than that, I count all things to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I just want to know him. Everything else is a loss compared to knowing him. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life. If you thought about that, if you didn't know that verse and you thought, this is eternal life that I live, I go to heaven when I die, you might think that. But it actually says, this is eternal life that they may know you, the Father, and Jesus Christ, your Son. Some of the verses we saw in our homework, John 8:31-32, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. 1 John 4:16, we've come to know and believe, that continuous believing, trusting, rely on the love which God has for or in us. So we have to know him. So how do we get to know him? Well, one of it is right there. If you abide in my word, then you will know the truth. We have to be in the word. We have to be in the word. We have to know what this book says. And not just for the sake of more knowledge, but our goal is to know who Jesus is, to get to know him better. I remember when I was a student at Cape and Ray, Charles Price used to tell us that he read through the Bible every year with a different question. And one of his questions 1 year was, what do I learn about Jesus as I read through the Bible? And so that's a neat one. All from Genesis to Revelation, what do you learn about Jesus? So we need to be in the Word. We also need to know his love and believe his love. And love him. Get to know him in that love relationship. And how do you do that? I was thinking back to when I was little, and I have vivid pictures of sitting on my mom's lap or my dad's lap and just staring at their faces. Do you notice how little kids do that? They just stare at you. I get so many. I'm a teacher, if you didn't know, and I have students that come up to me, and they have said if I get a haircut, they are the first to know. I can walk by any adult. I go to 5 different schools, and not one person will say, but I get to my student, they're like, oh, Miss Ludlow, you got your hair cut, you know? Or I'll go down the hall, and they'll say, oh, Miss Ludlow, you're wearing a new necklace today. Or even better, Miss Ludlow, you're really sweaty. Why do you have red dots on your face? I'm like, this is great. Okay. And then you'll get the few that say, oh, Miss Ludlow, you're beautiful. And I'm like, oh, stop. But they look at you, and they stare at you, and they just want to gaze at you and just get to know all the little parts about you. Maybe we should be like that with Jesus, just to gaze at him. The Bible even says, it says here, I'm just going to move it to the next slide because it has more verses. In Hebrews 12:2, it says to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Colossians 3:1-2, these verses are so awesome. Therefore, if you've been raised with Christ to a new life, okay, we are in Christ, yes, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep focused habitually, this is the Amplified Version, of the things above, the heavenly things, and not are the things of the earth, which have temporal value. And don't we get so caught up in the things of the earth? I've really noticed that lately. I wake up in the morning some days, and don't you just feel like you walk out the door, and you come home, and I'm like, what just happened? Like, how did this, there's just so much in your day, and then you come home, and then there's even more there, and there's this and that, and there's so much around us, and we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, fix our eyes on things above. You know, we I've been with WOW on mission trips, and their verse, they go to Africa and work with orphans and widows. And in James 1:27 says that pure religion is this, that you look after the widows and orphans in their distress. But do you know that verse continues on? And it says, and keep yourself from being polluted by the world. That's part of pure religion too. We kind of focus on the first part of that verse, but that's the second part. I'm like, oh yeah. So we need to fix our eyes on things above. Fix our eyes on Jesus. A.W. Tozer has a book called The Pursuit of God. And this is such a great, Tozer was such a great man who just loved the Lord. He would take train trips just to have a quiet space to go and be with Jesus. He'd like take a 4-hour train ride, get one of those sleeping cars, and he would just write and read and pray and do all his things. So he'd have a quiet space, 4 hours there, 4 hours back, and that's what he would do. So he wrote this, believing then, he says that looking and believing are the same thing. Looking is with your eyes and believing is with your heart. He concludes that faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. And he says this, faith is not a once done act, but a continuous gaze at the heart of a triune God. Believing, then, is directing the heart's attention to Jesus. It's lifting the mind to behold the Lamb of God and never ceasing that beholding for the rest of our lives. At first, this may be difficult, but it becomes easier as we look steadily at his wondrous person, quietly and without strain. Distractions may hinder, but once the heart is committed to him, after each brief excursion away from him, the attention will return again and rest upon him like a wandering bird coming back to its window. So it's that beholding the Lamb of God, that gazing on him. So we want to know him, and we do that by loving him, by knowing his word, keeping our eyes and our minds and our hearts on him. Another is to be still. Did you know that's one of the definitions of abiding, is to be still? And how hard is that, eh? Think back over this last week. Would you say there was one moment or period of time that you were able to be still with Jesus? I read this article by Francis Chan. It just came up last night on my thing. And he says, we live in a time where most people have a difficult time concentrating on anything. We are constantly looking for the quick fix and the faster solutions. So the thought of sitting quietly to meditate on scripture and praying deeply in silence can be eagerly replaced by listening to a sermon while driving to work. Well, it's definitely better than nothing, considering all the other messages that bombard us daily. The point of my article of that Francis Chan is saying is there's no substitute for being alone with God. We must learn to be still again. Would you be willing, like A.W. Tozer, to skip a meal or skip something or put something off just for the sake of being alone with Jesus? It's something to think about. And to keep at it. There's this crazy verse in John 6:56. I have to read to you because it says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. So we eat his flesh and drink his blood. Yay. But basically that's just, that word to eat there means to gnaw or to chew. And it just stresses the slow process. A series of acts seen, when you look at them in perspective, they're a series of slow acts. Basically, the habit of spiritually feeding on Christ. So one thing, as we're looking at this idea of abiding in Jesus, abiding in Christ, we also want to realize that it's a daily thing that's going to take time, right? We do live in a quick fix society, and part of us will want to go home and go, okay, I'm going to abide in Christ, let's do it now, all right, okay, we're going to do this. It's going to take time, and there'll be greater periods, hopefully those times between all those things get less and less and less. It's like any spiritual discipline that you do. It's a habit, and habits take time to form. Quite a few years ago, Hans-Peter Royer spoke, here at People's about having a 24/7 relationship with Jesus. And he spoke of a man who tried each day just to focus on Jesus more at work, at home, and gradually it came. And there was some, he had a bracelet or something, and it just reminded him during the day, and eventually those time periods between when he thought of Jesus got less and less and less. And that's what we want. We don't want to be, this is a relationship, right, with Jesus that we want to just enjoy. So one of the things is when we abide in him, what's the promise? He abides in us. That's the result. As some have said, Jesus is a gentleman. He stands at the door and knocks. In Revelation 3:20, if anyone opens the door, he comes in and eats with him. Now, we usually use that verse as a verse for Christians, but actually that verse is written to the churches in the book of Revelation, to the seven churches, to one of the seven churches, sorry. That's for us. Jesus is a gentleman, and he is waiting for us to let him in. We are in him, but we need to get to know our Jesus and eat with him and enjoy him. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to focus on that tonight, and then next week we'll look on what are the results as we abide, what will happen. And I'll give you a hint. It's the second part of this passage in Philippians 3 we saw tonight, that we're going to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. All right, so ladies, it's time to, you have time now to go into your life groups and talk about these questions and talk about these things that you learned as you're going through the homework. I just want to pray for you, pray for this time, and then you guys have that time to, till about 1:45 to talk and try and get to those lean, there's the look down questions and the look out, definitely, and then we want to get to also the live it out questions as well before we go to pray. All right, so let's pray right now. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and I praise you, Father, just for the truth that when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are in Christ. And thank you so much for all the incredible blessings that we get as your gift, Lord. But God, may we learn to abide in you. And as we talk about it now, God, will you just direct conversations that we'd have courage to ask those questions, that we would be honest with each other. And just thank you for each woman in our life group, Lord. Thank you for bringing them here tonight. Thank you for just what you're doing in each of their lives. And Lord, we just give you praise for our time together right now. We just pray that we will fix our eyes on you. So thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.